I'd like to introduce Mike Ann from the Central Maryland area also.
Hey everybody, I'm Mike, I'm an addict. Wow man, this is almost overwhelming, and I'm really excited to be here. First I'd like to thank the convention committee for asking me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope. And you know, I know that's all I got, you know. I'm really grateful to be here. The life that the program of Narcotics Anonymous has provided me is beyond my imagination, you know what I mean? And it's real simple for me, man. You know, when I'm using, right? When I'm using, I'm a low bottom crackhead that will steal anything that's not bolted down. And if I have a wrench, I will steal anything that's bolted down. So it's real simple for me, man. You know, I go to jail a lot when I'm using. You know, direct result. You know, of the disease of addiction. You know, and it's not something that I knew I had, man. You know, I grew up in a crazy house. You know, my parents were both drunks. They used to beat each other up, and the kids, as a result, got beat up too. A little bit of neglect, and as a result, as a young kid, I grew up with a lot of fear. You know, I have a lot of fear, and when protective services removed me and my brother and sister from the house, I had a lot of feeling of not being wanted. You know, and so growing up, man, I needed something. You know, I needed something, and it resulted in, man, because of that fear that I had, man, when I found drugs and alcohol. You know, it gave me some courage, you know, what I thought was courage anyways, you know, and I ran with it, you know. Man, I remember one of the first times I ever used, man, my buddy and I, man, before a dance in middle school or something like that, we swiped a bottle of Crazy Horse, a 40 of Crazy Horse from his older brother. And, man, after drinking that, man, I wasn't ashamed of myself, you know. I wasn't ashamed of me. I was ready to dance, you know. I wasn't scared to ask that girl to dance that I wanted to ask to dance, but just fear gripped me and I couldn't do it, you know? So man, it was something that I love, you know, and it's something that I ran with. And I can't lie, it was fun at first. You know, it was fun. I became the guy I wanted to be, you know. I went to parties, I hung out, and I thought people wanted to be around me. But this disease that we know is progressive, you know, so fun didn't stick around. And as the disease progressed, my using habits progressed to where it wasn't, you know, just weekends. It wasn't, you know, every other week. It was every day. The sort of things I like to put in me changed. That progressed to things that, you know, it wound up. Long story short, it became the thing that's killing me, you know. And I remember at a young age, my friends were like, man, Mike, you got a problem. You know, so my thinking told me, you don't need to hang out with those guys, man. They ain't no fun, you know. Let's find somebody else to hang out with. And eventually, I couldn't find anybody to hang out with because they didn't want to use like I used. So I wound up using by myself. You know, so in the end, my story is that I become homeless. You know, I steal a lot. I don't work. I stink. I don't shower. I don't do anything that normal people do, you know, because my main concern isn't like career, home ownership, you know, raising children, you know, nothing like a productive member of society would consider as the right thing to do. Mine was, who can I steal from? Like, looking at people's stuff like, will they miss that? How long will it be before they realize that's missing? You know, and, you know, and haggling at the pawn shop for shit that's not mine, you know? So, and sleeping behind a Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, in the middle of winter, you know? And not even really sleeping, just waiting, you know, waiting for my next opportunity. I burned a lot of bridges. You know, I remember, you know, one of the last times I got arrested, you know, I remember calling my dad and just saying, you know, Dad, I'm in Upper Marlboro, you know, I need some help. And he's like, man, I can't help you, Mike. You're right where you need to be. At least we know you're safe. At least we know where you're at. You know, Merry Christmas. And he hung up. You know? And I remember, man, you know, I remember feeling just angry, you know, just so angry, like, man, F you guys, I don't need you, you know, I don't need any of you, and just being angry. And so I remember when I went to the bond hearing, the judge was like, Mr. Mike, do you have anything to say for yourself? And I remember feeling so angry and just wanting to blame somebody. But something from inside of me said, you know, Your Honor, I'm an addict and I need help. And what happened that day, the judge looked at me and said, well, if that's true, Mr. Noble, we don't want your money. We don't want to put you away. We want to help you. And what he did was he sent me to treatment, you know, and everybody behind me in the bond here was like, I'm an addict. I need help. It is what it is, you know. I believe that day God did for me what I couldn't do for myself, helped me find that voice to ask for help. It's something that I was never comfortable doing, you know. I never asked for help, man. When you grew up in a situation like I did, man, you learn to, you know, bottle that stuff up. And the drugs and alcohol and substance that I use, they help keep it down, you know. Asking for help was out of the question. I believe God was working through that judge that day, you know, did for me what I couldn't do for myself. So they sent me to treatment. I went through the treatment, and they sent me to a halfway house, you know. And in the halfway house, I was sent to a city in Central Maryland, in Laurel. And if you guys don't know Laurel, man, the recovery in Laurel is very strong. There's a lot of meetings. There's a meeting every day within walking distance of that halfway house. And I did what they recommended. Excuse me. They recommended 90 meetings in 90 days. Get a sponsor, get a home group, get a service position, get a basic text and read it, you know, and learn how to pray. And I tried my best. You know, I went through the halfway house. I got a home group down the street. It was at it was on Tuesday nights. And I went down there and I asked them, you know, if I could be a home group member. They said, sure, here's the coffee pot, you know. So I didn't ask for my service position. It was given to me. But I really appreciate it because I'm not used to asking for help, you know. And it helped me a lot. All of a sudden, I was accountable to the group. You know, which is something that I needed at the time. And it was great. You know, I got a sponsor, and when I asked them to be my sponsor, I felt like I was at that middle school dance again, about to ask the girl out to dance. Real nervous, you know, looking at my feet. And he hugged me. He said, you know, I only sponsor guys that want to do step work. And so I started my step work process, you know. I started doing step work. And man, when I got to that home group, man, they welcomed me to NA, man. They gave me big hugs, you know. And it's something that I was not comfortable with that, man. Another man giving me a hug like that. You know, I need to mention that I tried NA before. You know, I tried it to get people off my back. My wife, my boss, things that, you know, when things got unmanageable, you know, like, man, shit. You know, they say when life gets, my life is unmanageable. I would always say my wife is unmanageable, you know. But so when I got to, you know, when I would go to the meetings, man, I would be the last one there and first one to leave. I didn't want to be there, you know. I remember one time somebody told my wife about Anna, and she took me to a meeting one time, and the guy, I didn't want to sit in the back. I didn't want anybody to look at me or anything. I didn't want to be there. And the secretary was like, you know, anybody new to NA, you know, raise your hand, introduce yourself. And I didn't do it, but my wife was like, hand in the air, you know. Like, he's an addict and he needs help. So, you know, I was like, man, I can't believe she did that. But, you know, because I hurt her a lot, man, you know, I hurt her a lot. And she needed some relief from me. I'm crazy. But anyways, when I got to my home group, man, and those people welcomed me like that, you know, I needed it. You know, I needed it. I needed somebody to hug me no matter what, man. I felt so dirty, man. I felt like I had done so much cruddy stuff. And I didn't have any drugs at that point to make those feelings go away, you know. So it was great, man. And so, man, they would say, keep coming back. I'll keep coming back, man. And, but I remember even when I went to meetings back then and I would come late and leave early. I remember one time I was leaving and this guy from Central Maryland named Peter was like, where you going so fast, Mike? And I was like, how does he know my name? You know? I remember that. And you know what? Sometimes I just think of that, you know, I think of how grateful I am to him because I didn't feel like anybody was paying attention to me. I didn't feel wanted. I still didn't feel wanted. I felt inadequacy. I felt fear, you know. And when he said that to me, man, it struck me like, man, you know, these people are, you know, they're for real, man. They're not just faking this, you know. I remember when I was in treatment, right, H&I brought a meeting in. And it was a guy from Montgomery area led the meeting. And he introduced himself. And by his mannerisms, I could tell that we weren't similar. You know, it was nothing like me. Grew up in different areas, probably different sexual preferences, you know. But they announced before the meeting, please listen for the similarities rather than the differences. And I remember thinking that, you know, well, let's do it, you know. I'm going to listen for the similarities. And when he started sharing about his feelings and why he used, man, I could relate. Man, I could relate more than I could relate with anybody. You know, all of a sudden, it was like, damn, man, I needed to be here tonight, you know. And I was introduced to NA, man, and it was like, this is the solution, you know. This could be the solution to my life's problem. And, man, so when I started step work with my sponsor, man, it was awesome, man, to be able to talk to another man like that so freely without feeling judged. I just, you know, I felt great, you know. And it was still some things that I just couldn't share, you know, some feelings I couldn't get out, I couldn't talk to him about, I couldn't write down on paper, you know. And I remember doing my step work, my first step, and I went over it with the minimum of concern. And you guys warned me against that, but I was like, man, I'm different, you know. So what happened was when I got out of the halfway house, my dad passed away. You know, I held it together for a little while. You know, I would go to meetings, but I wouldn't share about it. I just held it in and expected it to stay there, you know. And so what eventually happened was, I remember, so I'm a Redskins fan, guys.
Yes, sir.
And so, so what happened, right, it was a Sunday. The Redskins played the Cowboys, and the Redskins hadn't beaten the Cowboys in a few years, right? And, man, the Redskins stomped a mud hole on the Cowboys, you know? And so the first thing I used to do is I would call my dad and talk about the game, you know? And I was so excited, man, I was... Start dialing the phone, and man, I just realized it hit me like a brick. Like, he ain't gonna answer, man. Damn. So, I had a choice at that moment. I could go to an NA meeting. There's one in Savage on Sunday nights. I could make a left on Route 1, head towards Savage. I could make a right on Route 1 and head to my dad's house. Go look through his stuff and reminisce and sit on the pity pot, you know. And I chose to do that, right? And long story short, I used that night. And all the little things that I gained in the short amount of clean time I had, man. I got a job, got a place to live, got a little car, you know. I lost it all real quick, you know. Got in a bad accident, sent to the hospital, and was in the hospital for about a week, you know. And I remember the call from my home group. Where's the coffee pot? I'm in the hospital, y'all. Yeah, well, you're in the hospital. Where's the coffee pot? because, you know, the NA program, the show must go on. You're right. And they have to be there welcoming people to NA, you know. But they got the coffee pot back. The show went on. I had to spend a few days at a shelter because I didn't have nowhere to go from the hospital, you know. The day I left the hospital was the last day I lied about the pain level, you know, so that it would pump more Dilaudid in me. So that's my clean date, you know, October 9th, 2008. And they welcomed me back. You know, all the fear and shame that was built up in me, you know, I don't want to go back to my home group and pick up that white key tag. I was so scared, nervous. I was like, man, they're going to judge me, man. They're not, you know, messed up so bad. Mike, God, you can't show your face around there. My sponsor said, you better show your face around there, man. Show them that you're okay, man. He said, God didn't save you for you, Mike. You know, go to your home group, you know. And so I went and I picked up that white key tag, you know. And the thing is, folks, when I went there, man, I got the best hugs I ever got in my life. You know, they were so happy to see me. They were saying things to me like, I'm so glad you didn't die. You know, I'm so glad you didn't die. And the truth is, man, God protected me in that accident, man. It was a lot worse. When I saw the car, man, I'm surprised I made it out. You know, I'm really, truly surprised. You know, God intervened in my life that day. And so I listened to my sponsor, man. I truly believe that this is a life and death situation for me. And the program of Narcotics Anonymous is providing me a life worth living, you know. So, man, I started back on my first step after that, you know. And I went through it with a maximum of concern, you know. the part about reservations, man, I truly believe if I go through that and I write down everything I truly believe about any reservation that I might have, I won't relapse, man. You know, I don't have that reservation, man, that my dad's going to die, my mom's going to die. You know, guys, I went through, in 2010, my mom passed away, you know. And my sponsor said, he said, Mike, the table's being set the same way. What are you going to do different? You know? And so I had a decision to make. And so I went and visited her every day after work as the cancer was eating away at her. And it wasn't easy, you know. But I did. And I went to a meeting every night, you know. And I shared about it. I shared all about it, all about these terrible feelings I had. I still had a resentment against her, man, you know. My sponsor said to me at one point, he was like, is there anything, Mike, that you want to... You might want to make an amends to your mom. And I was like, man, that's that, you know. She never said she's sorry to me, man. You know, why should I do the same? You know what? You know, it's enough that I just go and visit her. And, you know, because the reason I wanted to go and visit her, because I didn't want to have the, you know, I didn't want to feel bad later, man. You know, So I was there one day, and she liked watching, like, Judge Judy and Judge Joe Brown and stuff like that. And I just couldn't stand it. But I would sit there and I'd hold her hand and we'd watch the TV. And this one day I went there, right? And And she turned off the TV and she held my hand tight. She said, "Mike, I'm so sorry. So sorry I wasn't a good mom." Right? And I was like, "Man, why did you do that? How could you do this to me?" I told her, I was like, "Damn, man. Thank you, Mom. I really needed to hear that. And I love you. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the hurt I put you through, all the sleepless nights, and I want you to know that I'm gonna be okay. You don't have to worry about me or your daughter. I'll take care of her." And she grabbed my hand tighter and she started to say the Serenity Prayer. And I was like, "How is this happening?" But it was just what I needed, man. It's just what I needed at that moment. And she died a couple days later. And I missed it. I wasn't there, but I was there right afterwards. I was coming home from work. That might be for me, y'all. I went there, and she looked like she was at peace, man, it was something about it, that I had to go to a meeting that night and share about it, And my friends were there. They welcomed me to the meeting. They could see that I've been going through, I truly believe that the spiritual principles that we learn through our step work, man, help us get through these hard times, These, because life is going to happen, man, I mean, we talk about life on life's terms, man. For the first part of my life, I lived life on the drugs terms, I did everything that pipe told me to do, So learning these spiritual principles to counteract all the defects of character that I survived with for so long, man, is so essential to me. The result is, man, that life, man, I have a different level of acceptance, My level of acceptance today is, man, that life can come, I know that God got me, I know that my understanding of God has me through this whole thing, And I know that if I keep doing what I'm doing, talking to my sponsor and sponsoring guys and working steps and helping guys work steps, man, that my life is just going to continue to get better and better, And I'm back with my wife. We bought a house a couple years ago, It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, man. I have a career, I'm in a position of leadership at my job, I mean, I'm grateful that my boss don't know where I came from, Because it's, I'm in a position where I can get government clearance for jobs now, I wouldn't even think about that sort of thing, man. And so I'm sharing that not to brag. My sponsor told me that it's important that I share the good things, man. Because when we come to NA with all the problems that we have in life, man, it's really important that we come back with the solution too. And for me, the solution is the steps. And talking with other people, because whatever goes on up in my head ain't always the right thing, So my solution comes from you guys, and it comes from my step work, And I'm truly, truly grateful for the program of Narcotics Anonymous that showed me this beautiful new way to live. Thanks for letting me share.